Good evening, Winston-Salem. All right, ramblers, let's get rambling. William Shakespeare. Welcome to the Camel City Dispatch News Hour. I'm your editor and host, Chad Nance. We're here for another week. Tim and I are going to talk Shakespeare. We're actually going to perform some Shakespeare today. We're going to talk about one of my favorite films. We got Adam Sebastian coming on, local architect, talking about modernist architecture, Winston-Salem, and so much more here on the Camel City Dispatch News Hour. Down at the roadhouse Saturday night, just like everybody else. Look for fun, get into a fight, just like everybody else. I'm going to bring down my life. Buzz the blood and the fire and the brain. Don't make no mess, there won't be no mess. Come get some, come get some. All right, all right, all right. Yes, that's right. William Shakespeare died today.
Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right. Yeah, that is. That's what it is.
We're for our Romeo.
Hey, Romeo, man. That's what I like about those high school. Anyway.
That's what I like about them medieval girls.
Yeah. I get older, they stay the same age. No, I, you know, and that quote.
All righteth.
I love those redheads. But,
I loveth them.
The red
medieval girls.
Now, you sound like Bill Clinton. You don't sound like Matt McConaughey.
I can't do Matt McConaughey. You know? I was thinking that Arkansas or Tennessee or whatever.
Texas.
The kind of hate that. Yeah, that's close enough. Arkansas's right there next.
Yeah. L-I-V-I-N.
Shoo-wee.
To live or die. But anyway, that actually, the opening quote obviously wasn't. Just in case there were kids listening, that wasn't Shakespeare.
That was
Quentin Tarantino. Oh, okay. Is what that was, but I just thought it was funny. But anyway, no, but it is, man. 450 years ago today, or hereabouts, he died. Shakespeare shuffled off this mortal coil, you know.
And well, then 3 days later, he arose? Is that how it
that's
worked?
A different guy. That was last week.
Okay.
You're missing. You got your weeks messed
up. Okay, I'm sorry. A different fictional character.
He didn't do all that raising from the dead.
Okay.
Type stuff.
Sorry.
No. So, did you? What was your relationship with Shakespeare in school? Did you? Were you ever been a fan?
No. I mean, I didn't dislike him. I just didn't care.
Really?
Ninth grade, we had to do Romeo and Juliet, and I think I was Romeo. I forget.
Really?
And 10th
you
grade
got the
was,
big. I was always getting like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Those I was never Hamlet. I was never. Yeah, I was always those guys. You know.
Well, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Banquo or something. Yeah. You know.
But then 10th grade was Julius Caesar, which I didn't mind that one. 11th grade was American English, so we didn't deal with that. And then 12th grade was, I think it was. Taming of the Shrew. Macbeth.
I had a healthy relationship. I liked Shakespeare as a kid.
I don't understand the damn thing he's saying.
My parents had a huge collection, but the other thing, I got away from it until there's a writer, he's a Southern novelist named Harry Cruz that just passed away a couple years ago. And during an interview, he said that I was in on doing the work. He made the comment that, you know, keep asking me questions, but I got nothing new to say. Shakespeare said it all. And I was like, well, if Harry thought that, you know, so then I went and bought another big collection for our house, and I enjoy the language.
Stephanie is a fan.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really care.
But what I did, I try to drag you into this. Now, we are, because, you know, we try to be smart here. You know, we run a smart outfit. We try to have an intelligent show.
Right.
Right. So what I thought today, since, you know, and if there's any kids listening, I thought it would be good for us as examples in the community to do a little Shakespeare.
Okay.
You know, so we're going to, what I thought, okay, now I'm going to do Macbeth.
Right.
Okay. You're going to play Lady Macbeth.
Right.
Which is traditional because they had women playing men all the time back in the day.
So this is more like Monty Python doing.
Yes. Women were considered, it was kind of a little slutty to be in the theater back then. So they had young boys do it. And since we don't have any young boys.
Okay.
You know, we thought we'd do it this way.
Right.
It's from scene 7, all right, lobby in the castle, and the lovely Lady Macbeth is coming down the hallway where Macbeth has been ruminating on events, and enter Lady Macbeth. How now? What news?
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Hath he asked for me?
No, you not, he has.
Will we proceed no further in this business? He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which would be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
What's the hope drunk? wherein you dressed yourself, hath it slept since, and wakes it now to look so green and pale, at what it did so freely, from this time such I account thy love, art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor, as thou art in desire, wouldst thou have that which thou esteemest the ornament of life, and live a coward in thy own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the adage.
Yeah, I'm afeard. I'm afeard now. I like that you did it with an accent.
Thank you.
I like that you respect the work. That, you know, because it's important stuff. I do. I like that you went all in.
I did. I don't do anything half-assed.
Was the hope drunk? I love that. That's like,
what's the hope drunk?
I want that on my ringtone. I want, like, you know, when people call me now, I want to hear, was the hope drunk? I loved it, man.
Letting I dare not wait upon I would.
You did good work, man.
Thank you.
You did.
That was the first time I'd ever read any of that.
So Chad and Tim Little Theater, we do Shakespeare.
Yes.
We're
Marty.
Do you feel? Marty. Yeah, we're his broke cousin.
We're
Marty.
We're Marty Constrictor.
So do you feel smarter?
No.
Now that we class to join up,
I have gotten in touch and groped on my feminine side a little.
Have you? Yeah, I tried not to grope on my feminine side today, but I got to be Macbeth. Now I will say this: you know, in theater, Macbeth is usually called the Scottish play.
Right.
Because it's bad luck play usually, you know, because like Polanski, you know, as soon as Manson slaughtered his girlfriend, he goes and makes Macbeth. It's got a storied history and not a good one. So hopefully nothing bad will happen to us.
Right.
Now that we've performed part of the Scottish play.
Yeah. Let's hope.
And I don't know.
We are doing a 5K. Yeah. Hopefully nothing happens there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And if you guys have not signed up for the Art Makes My Soul, Soul, S-O-L-E.
And I sent Tommy Priest a message on Facebook today. I actually went to the Airstream, and he was not there.
Whoa, Tommy wasn't there. So how are you going to train without Tommy?
Well, I did train. I curled a couple of bites of the peanut butter, bacon, and jelly. From
Camel City Grill, man. Yeah. Is that not an awesome piece of food?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've had it before because I know Ben.
Oh, had you?
But,
yeah.
Well, I've met Ben several times. But
You're training hard.
I am. I did curls, man.
You did? I'm looking forward to seeing you next week the cameras are back out, so folks can look, you know, probably next Tuesday, Wednesday for another edition. And they're gonna see your training regimen.
Great.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have Jack follow you around a little bit and see how Tim is getting buff for this.
Right on.
Are you getting buff?
I have to call the TVA and get me a vape machine thing so I can get
We were gonna go to Fleet Feet and see if we get you some Under Armour. I'll go to do it just to see Tim dressed in Under Armour, head to toe. Or we could just get you painted.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. All right, man. But remember, and that's May 7th coming up. Yeah. So if you haven't, you can enter in to compete against
17th.
Us. It's 17th. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I was like, wait, that's like next week. No.
Yeah, no, it better 7th. Not be. There's going to be. 17th. Yeah, because I'm not quite ready. I've been training.
The 7th is a Wednesday. That's less desirable. And a show day. Yeah,
good deal. You'll feel good.
Then. Oh,
you'll
I'm
be
sure.
Ready. You'll be feeling the burn.
Yeah, I'm going to call the Segway guys and see if they just bring one to me.
I think that's cheating. Wouldn't that be cheating to use a Segway?
I'm walking.
Oh, that's right. All right. Anyway, well, the next thing, now that we've done Shakespeare, though, we'd like to turn our attention real quick, just because we love it. And I think we have a song, a theme song for this one, don't we?
Yeah.
Were you able to find it? Yes, that's right. Probably one of the greatest film theme songs ever written, I think. Anyway. And one of my favorite films of all, easily. Do you remember the Mike Hodges 1970s version of Flash with Sam Jones in it?
Yeah, it was 1980.
Was it 80?
1980.
Okay, I knew Ming the Merciless. It was Max von Sydow.
Sydow. I never could figure that. I liked him. I liked him and everything he did. If something with him, if you've never seen it, was Needful Things.
Yes, that's a Brit. It's an adaptation of Stephen King, and it was well done. I mean, a lot of people that didn't see that. And again, it's really Ed Harris plays the sheriff. Man, that's a good flick, and it's fun too. And you get to see a lady put a butcher knife in another lady's head.
Yes,
always entertaining. Good. You know, I like spice it up a little bit. All right, man, but
Leland Gaunt was his name.
Yes,
in that movie.
Yes, which is essentially it's Stephen King, so he's not who he appears to be. Although I think naming him Leland Gaunt is cheating a little bit. That's foreshadowing, I think, is what that's called. I don't know. It's been a literary day here. We've already done some Shakespeare.
That's right. So you, Carissa, just walked in.
She missed the Shakespeare.
Stephanie walked in. She got to catch it.
You missed us reading from Macbeth. I was Macbeth. He was Lady Macbeth. Yeah, but they can't hear anything you're saying. Yeah. No, it's not.
You should have gone by Paisley, the middle school. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of kids who dressed up like Shakespeare today, and they got candy.
So, like, you know, William Shakespeare himself?
Yes. You know Mark Bertone? He dressed up full costume. Yeah, hat, the socks, the pants, the shoes, the whole deal.
Wow. Well, we did. He was Lady Macbeth, and you guys missed it. He did a wonderful job.
And it wasn't his birthday today. It's the day he died.
Died.
Okay.
Yes, today is his 26th. Death day.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they were celebrating Shakespeare's death. But anyway, it's kind of cute to
see. Well, it's been 450 years. It's not too soon. I think you can talk about that without offending anyone, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But we got off topic because we were talking about something important. It's Flash, the film. They got a new writer. They're actually going to, and it's not going to be a remake. They're just going to do a film set in the Flash Gordon world. They've secured the rights. And they're going to get, but no word yet on Sam Jones' possible participation or Timothy Dalton. Remember him? He was one of the Bird guys.
He still looks about the same.
Yeah, he looked old then.
Yeah, I mean, he looked older then, but, you know, when he was James Bond, 8 years after that movie, he still looked younger, than he did when
or in Hot Fuzz recently, which is he's great in that. Have you seen that? It's one of the Cornetto trilogy. He's brilliant in that. Yeah. Edgar Wright's film, who's getting ready to do Ant-Man. But I'm looking forward. Would you go see another Flash? I mean,
maybe.
Or do you hold the original somewhat sacrosanct?
The only time I saw Flash, the original one, on HBO. We didn't go to a lot of movies, but
You lived in West Virginia.
We had to drive upwards of 45 minutes to an hour just to go see anything, unless it was in the drive-thru, and then you usually had to leave really early because if you stay too long, you saw stuff with, you know, a rating that kids shouldn't see.
No. Well, in West Virginia, that was not much shocking. I mean, you saw weirder stuff at home, right?
Yeah, that's true, with your sister.
Yeah.
But, But I would probably watch it. I owned it on VHS at one time. I don't know that I broke through with the DVD.
That's a format. You know, I think there's a field trip going on inside. But yeah, okay. Anyway, well, let's just we'll come back, talk to Adam Sebastian. I'm looking forward to Flash. I'll watch it, man. Right, I'll watch anything. Can we do a little? Can we listen to a tiny bit more to think? I just love that song. Because it's just that good. Dun, dun, dun.
Watch.
Because he was just out of this world, Flash. Now you've done Lady Macbeth and Freddie Mercury. How many British women are you going to do today on the show?
I don't know.
I see a pattern developing.
Yeah. I told you, I got in touch with and groped my feminine side.
All right. Well, you tell your feminine side I said hi. When we get back, we're going to talk to, although he's probably now embarrassed, we're going to talk to Adam Sebastian about the very serious lecture on modernist architecture. And we have a lot of it here in Winston-Salem. It's going to be exciting to listen to. But they're coming to the garage, man. They're going to be under the big-ass fan with their pal Tucker.
At the garage.
Yeah, at the garage. It's a carriage house.
It's a garage.
Yo, there you go again.
That's out in the garage.
All right. Well, we'll be back, and maybe Tim can do some more British accents here in 2 and 2 at the Camel City Dispatch News Hour.
You're cool, you're crisp, you're hard to resist, you're right. Surprise me, Joe. Get a little in your mouth. Your poor wife, how does she do it?
Maybe with a dish rag.
Oh, that's very funny. But she needs Bounty. It's the quick pickle-upper. Look, Bounty here, Mile Brand here. In they go. You see, Bounty absorbs more liquid faster. Strong, too.
Rosie, the missus will love Bounty.
Sure, it's the quick pickle-upper.
TheLessDesirables.com.
Hey guys, this is Tim from The Less Desirables. Tune in late Wednesday or early Thursday morning to hear the latest webisode. This week, the director of the Professional Center by Goodwill, Randy Wooden, is live in the studio. He'll talk about what he does, because I really don't know. He'll also talk about pop culture and other creamy goodness. So tune in to TheLessDesirables.com or the iTunes Store to download the latest webisode.
TheLessDesirables.com.
Welcome back to the Camel City Dispatch News Hour. We're going to up the intelligent quotient on the show a little bit again here today, Tim. And we're going to talk about modernist architecture.
In anything that's not us.
Yes. We're going to talk about, although this will involve our pals at the garage. So we are going to pull that in.
Okay.
But modernist architecture, man, it's, you know, North Carolina is number three in the nation for modernist, the number of modernist houses that we have. Which, and they're little gems, you know, think Frank Lloyd Wright. Or I thought before we get our expert on here to talk, and the architect to talk about these things, I would give our audience, let's give that guy at least one clue as to a modern house that he may recognize.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
The baseline on that's mean, isn't it?
Yeah. I think here's the best part.
The youngest one in curls.
I think Bootsy Collins did that. I think that's Bootsy. He was on everything else. But anyway, the house that we all remember from the, which was, who didn't want to live in the house, right? Because it was awesome.
Yeah.
But that house is an example of modernist architecture. And Mike, of course, was an architect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything that he
designed looked like the house.
Exactly like his house.
But we have a much better architect here today, Mr. Adam Sebastian. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about everything Adam's done, from designing his own house to, we have a guy named George Smart coming to town. He's going to appear at the garage next week to talk about modernist architecture.
That's right. Yeah. George Smart is with North Carolina's Modernist Houses, which is actually really got started in Raleigh. But he's coming May 1st. That's a Thursday, and the event's going to start at 5:30 at the garage, and that's a free event. So we want to make sure that folks know that. It'll run about an hour, but basically George is coming on the road to give this presentation that's called Mayberry Modernism, and he's given this presentation all over the country, as far away as Palm Springs, California, for Modernism Week. I think he did that about 3 months ago.
Well, California is where modernism, as far as what we, the stuff that's left, that has, that's where it's flowered.
California is number one, New York is number two, and North Carolina is number three. So,
and we had talked before about one reason that North Carolina is number three is because of NC State a particular professor there.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you had Dean Henry Camp Hefner, who was one of the founding deans there at the school, along with George Matsumoto. You know, there's a list of all these professors that through decades have taught there, but they taught, you know, modern architecture. And so as students would get out and graduate, they would kind of carry that learning on into the towns and cities where they lived.
Well,
and
even in pre-show, we were talking about a Matsumoto building that is right here in Winston-Salem.
That's right. Yeah,
that you can see.
That's right. We do have a George Matsumoto here. There's Edward Catalano. You know, there's a whole list of these professors. Mm-hmm. And George will do a great job of showing that style, that mid-century style, which is really 50s, 60s, and even a little bit into the 70s. But now what we're seeing homes that are built today that are also modern homes that still have those clean lines, still have a lot of glass, flat roofs, And what we're seeing with more of a creative class coming into Winston-Salem, that they're wanting that style of home. You know, they realize they don't have to have...
Well, part of it is the style itself is fairly flexible.
That's right.
I mean, even
that's
things
right.
like Art Deco, you talk about the sleekness, that Jet Age look, you know, George Jetson look.
That's right.
But you also use a lot of... The idea also is to use natural materials and make the house sit comfortably in its natural environment.
That's right. Yeah. Usually a modern home is well-sited on the landscape. It's got a lot of sustainable features to it. And you know, and those are buzzwords that a lot of people.
Well, they're buzzwords
like to hear.
Now. They were putting them into the homes.
That's
then.
Right. Because then
actually,
that was the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that was the right way to do it. The floor plans were real open, real flexible. They actually had a sense of emotion to them. You know, there weren't really any dark spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well, that was the thing. I remember windows, and I remember even indoors. If you go to modernist, if you look at things like Falling Water, some of these other places, mm-hmm. that, and I say that one because people recognize it, you see glass inside too,
that's
connecting
right.
the outside to the inside. Even an interior wall, you'll see glass to bring that sunlight in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that other room, even.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you can tell when an architect's had the ability to sit down with the plan and actually think through it and design it. And that's what I think what's so special about the homes that George will talk about is that they have these unique characteristics to them that really make them gems. And those that are lucky enough to live in them actually, you know, get what I'm saying because it is it's a unique environment.
I mean, the stark and just one of the recognizable things about them are the stark geometric shapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
More so than what you see in a quote unquote traditional house,
yeah,
colonial,
I mean,
even bungalow. Or,
absolutely. I mean, the traditional home has a gabled roof. Or a hipped roof.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these homes have what's depicted to look like a flat roof or a low slope roof. And so, you know, it actually, you know, the form right away, people can get it when they see it from the street. But more importantly, when they step inside one of these homes, it's just, they're amazed at how big they feel. But that's only because the space was designed to feel bigger than what it really is. And that's done with the material palette and with all the glass. And, so,
and bringing outside in.
That's right. That's right. That's, you want to bring the nature in and it really, you know, it provokes the emotion in the home.
Well, one of the things too that you can talk to different people. Some builders will tell you it's a complete myth and even some architects and others will tell you that it's the biggest problem with those is flat roofs.
That's right.
Themselves can be a maintenance problem.
Sure. And when we say flat, what we really mean is low sloped. All those roofs have about a quarter inch per foot slope on them. Mm-hmm. So there's still a slope. It's just we term it as flat. Only out in California can you really do truly flat because the wind blows enough and there's not enough rain. It just blows the rain right off of it. But here we still put somewhat of a slope to it.
Yeah, and how many of these houses? I know there have been some, including a residence of art, not R.J. Reynolds, but mm-hmm. it was his son.
Yep,
that was a tremendous.
That's right.
Modern. This was just completely torn down.
Yeah, it was.
We've lost some of these.
We've lost. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of really good ones. And what North Carolina Modernist Houses is good at doing is they're an advocate for those homes. And whenever a home, they call it an endangered list. Whenever a home gets on the endangered list, George and his staff does a great job of pumping out memos and news notes of, hey, you know, we need to support this home because it's endangered of getting bulldozed.
Well, is it harder, almost like it's harder to save, you know, the boa constrictor than it is the baby seal?
Yeah.
Is it harder because people recognize an old, like something we'd expect to see in the West End, for instance? They recognize that as an old home.
That's
where
right.
some of these mid-century moderns and things, there's even probably perception that they were just thrown together by builders, and that was the trend in the 1970s, 60s. And, you know, there's not as much appreciation of it as a piece of art or as even an old house.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And a lot of that is just through education. People mm-hmm. learn the importance of them, and that's why myself and Pete Fallon and Ben Schaub over at Stitch Design, we thought it would be great to get George here. Because we do have those homes in and around Winston, and folks just need to really realize how important they are and the value added that they have to their communities because they do make them unique. You know, you don't want the same looking house over and over
well,
and over.
Well, that's part of it is its uniqueness.
Yeah,
I think, and the uniqueness of the form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the signature look. You have long ribbon windows, stone, concrete. You know, the materials are really kind of rooted in a natural form, but they have such clean lines to them that, I mean, they're almost like works of art. When you get to go home, you get to kind of go home to a work of art or a sculpture, if you will, versus, you know, the home that, you know, someone else has the same one two doors down kind of a
thing. Yeah, and there's often the feel with them, with especially with mid-century moderns and others, that they were placed.
That's right.
Because they are carefully, like they, you said, placement on a lot is key.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's the orientation of the sun when it rises in the east and sets in the west, and the majority of the glass facing south. I mean, those are just kind of passive solar techniques that even back then the architects were employing those, and now folks want that. And it's a better way to design, especially the thing that you spend most of your time in your home.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So. And now, and speaking of which, you designed your own home.
I did.
Which we talked about Matsumoto, and mm-hmm. you won a Matsumoto Award.
I did. Didn't you for that? Absolutely, yeah.
And what's the name of the house?
It's called the Whole One Residence.
The Whole One Residence. Because I kept doing it. The other day I was making notes on something. I kept calling it the Hole in One Residence. So I was like, that's not right.
We'll take it whichever way you say it.
But that's an extraordinary home. That's in Clemens.
It is in Clemens, yeah. It was a little agricultural zone lot. And, you know, it had no restrictions on it. But it faced south. It was low sloping, the mm-hmm. site. So you can immediately see the benefit of or the potential in the site. So it's just a little 20-foot wide, 64-foot long passive solar house. And, you know, we absolutely love living there. And it's been a fun experience to design it, build it, and now live in it.
Can you explain to our listener what passive solar
is? Sure, yeah. Essentially what a passive solar home is that you rely on the sun's energy in the wintertime to actually heat some of the home. So your windows face south where the sun is predominantly. And that happens in the wintertime when the sun is low. In the summer when the sun is high, you have roof overhangs that block that sun from getting in those windows. So you're just trying to harness some of the sun's energy. Also, daylighting. I mean, our home, for example, mm-hmm. we never have the lights on. We might burn some at night when we need it, but during the day, the home is so open and the windows are positioned appropriately that you know, the house is just daylit.
It's just not neat.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Are there any other features that are sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, well, I won't go through the laundry list, but we did a lot of things with insulation.
Well, it's a day after Earth Day.
Well, absolutely. We did conditioned attics. We did spray foam. We did a lot of things with insulation. Really good mm-hmm. windows. Passive solar. The roof is set up for a 10,000 kilowatt solar farm. Mm-hmm. So whenever we're able to purchase a system like that, the roof is set up for it. We got all bamboo floors throughout the house, so as many sustainable materials as we could put into it, we certainly did.
Yeah, and I've used the bamboo floors. I like those.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a bunch of kids too, and you don't feel so bad replacing them because they're gonna.
Bamboo is grass.
Yeah, send everybody out of the house when you get to college, and then fix everything up.
That's right.
I say that's what I'm going to do. But anyway, but thanks for coming in. And well, I know
you
you're busy,
me.
But again, let's reiterate May 1st at the garage.
That's right, 5:30.
5:30.
George Smart, please come.
Yeah, and he's going to be bringing photos.
That's right.
It's a multimedia presentation.
It's a multimedia presentation. Yeah. You'll see the buildings, you'll learn about them, and you'll learn why they're important.
Okay, and they can see stuff right now at ncmodernhouses.org?
It is .org. Yeah. ncmodernist.org. Okay. There's a whole archive. It's the largest archive of modern houses in the United States.
Really? And there is a section, and you can find it. I actually / Winston-Salem, and you can find the Winston-Salem ones.
That's right. You can see the Winston-Salem architects and the folks that have contributed.
All right, man. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
and we
thanks,
appreciate
Jay.
You putting up with the Brady Bunch nonsense.
No problem.
But anyway, we'll be right back on the Camel City Dispatch News Hour. There we go, man.
I'll get home if you're facing me northways.
Get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret, Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. Where do you think really chocolatey chocolate milk comes from? A chocolate cow? In a chocolate field? On a chocolate farm?
near a chocolate stream.
Wrong. Really chocolatey chocolate milk comes from where you'd expect it to come from. Hershey. The chocolate people.
The chocolate milk people, too.
Get a little closer.
Closer.
Now don't be shy.
Closer.
You can get a little closer.
Closer.
With Arid Extra Dry.
Only Arid has a patent on this formula that fights wetness. No leading deodorant spray stops odor better. And now Arid has a new baby fresh scent. It smells,
Get a little closer.
Closer.
With the baby fresh scent of Arid Extra Dry.
Arid fights wetness and odor. Now in a new baby fresh scent.
Pajama? How do you say that number?
It's just pajama.
Pajama. Yeah. Oh, dude, I like these guys. But,
yeah.
But who the hell are they?
Their name is Tosca, which is an Italian electronic music project with it's basically two guys named Richard Dorfmeister and Rupert Huber.
Dorfmeister. I like this guy.
Dorfmeister.
Oh, Dorfmeister.
Yeah. They formed in 1994 in Vienna.
Any relationship Dr. Fritz Friesmeister from the old... Remember the was it Rudolph?
I'm Mr. Heatmiser.
That's
I'm Mr. Sun.
Yes.
Yeah, they're actually they're Austrian. Italian. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All the songs that you're hearing today is from one album called JAC, and JAC actually is just the first initials of they're married. Each one of them are married, and then one of them has two kids, one has one, and that's the initials of their children.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah,
I like the music a lot.
Yeah,
it's soundscape.
It's very what they call down tempo electronic music, which a lot of the more common name for that is chill.
Yeah,
And
but it's
actually,
not like John Tesh or anything.
No. This is real electronic music, not that American crap.
Yeah, and there's no Yanni.
Yeah, no, and you know the only one that can get away with the American crap like that is Moby. But but the. I heard them, the first time I ever heard them was on the Chill Channel on SiriusXM. And I bought the album, and the whole album's really good. Yes. And it's all this down-tempo electronic music.
The only radio station that's mellower than NPR, the Chill Channel.
Well, it's not mellow, per se.
Where
it's
you come to fall asleep while driving.
Oh, wait, we're still doing a show.
What'd you say?
They've been around, like I said, since... 94, but this is all off one album just because I really, really liked it. So.
Good deal. I like it too. I like it too. We'll be listening to it. But hey, and we got to get on today. We're just trying to handle business today.
Yeah.
So we speaking of handling business, we brought in Carissa. Now our first, we just were able to hire somebody, although they flitted out. Quickly.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't get to get them on air, but we were able to finally, we've actually, I know there's a lot of people worried about copy editing. And us. And so now we've been able to give, we're calling her a content supervisor, but we've hired a copy editor.
Well, she's going to be much more than a copy editor. But yes, Stephanie Hess, who has been doing our weekend guide now for quite a while and has been going back.
And Tim.
Yes.
Yes.
And then going back late at night quite often and cleaning up stories that maybe made it onto the internet a little bit sooner than they should have.
I might be responsible for things like that happening.
So she's the one who's been trying to clean up our act.
I've seen
for
her in various
months.
States of undress. I'll just be honest with you.
Yes. So Stephanie is engaged to marry Tim. And then
which means she's long-suffering and has patience.
Which is perfect to work with you.
Yes.
Stephanie and I actually found that we are... we have something in common that's actually highly unusual. We both have the same Myers-Briggs personality type, which is an extremely rare one. Like fewer than 1% of people in the world supposedly have this particular arrangement.
And you guys, so
we are the 1%.
That's who they are, man.
We're the good kind of 1%. We're like, we're. So that's kind of cool though, because we'll obviously work well together because we see things the same way.
But some of the important stuff is that Stephanie is, she lives here. She's a resident. She's not parachuting in.
No.
She's not a college kid that we're barely paying.
No. And yes, Stephanie's had a variety.
She's a
of
professional. You're barely.
Yes. Yeah, she's a professional. You know, this is so much different.
Well, hopefully the community is going to appreciate the efforts that we're making to give them cleaner content.
I think one thing with all the stuff that's been in the news, though, to me, that's one of my favorite parts of being able to hire Stephanie is that she's also a former teacher who left the profession very much for the reasons that teachers are fleeing from it in North Carolina right now, which is a massive amount of disrespect being tossed their way along with no money.
Yes. Yeah. And she enjoyed teaching. It's not that you know, she went, and she, one of the things we're really excited about that she and I were talking about today is for a long time, I've been wanting to have some content that was developed specifically for our elementary school kids. Mm-hmm. Part of their new curriculum requires that they read a lot of nonfiction. And so we thought, what a better way for the kids to really be able to get involved in the community than to read stuff that's actually happening
here. So she is basically
going to
up our game from our first grade reading level that we normally operate on. And take it up to a level where like fifth, sixth graders can read this stuff.
Her experience teaching was as a fourth grade teacher. And so I thought that'd be very appropriate to be able to have some of our content adjust it to be at a fourth grade reading level so that kids, kids a little below that and above it can still appreciate that and read that. And kids will be able to access that as part of their daily reading assignments, whether that's in school or at home or over the summer to keep up with some stuff. And we even talked about maybe some special contests that we can do to keep our kids reading over the summer. So she's excited about being able to help us with that and picking a few stories every week that we think the kids would benefit from and adjusting that for us. And then she'll be coming in before things are published so that everybody who reads them will get a nice clean copy edited version of
our because you get stories. That Chad version with repeated sentences and missing parts and you know.
But one of the things I'm really excited about for that is that she's going to be able to take some of the daily production stuff that you or I wind up doing of just turning different things around and be able to free you up to be able to do some more original content and to be able to get back out on the street a little
bit
more.
Could do some journalism.
Yeah.
Some actual journalism. It'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we also have some other people that are going to be contributing writers for us. We've already had Asia Shepherd, who's been doing a lot of our music stuff. She's going to be getting out there doing some more interviews. And some of you in local business will probably see her popping in there too. She's going to help connect us with some local businesses for ad stuff.
And Adam Sebastian is going to... Who we just had on the show is we've talked about that, and he's going to come on, and we're going to start having some photo essays and some writing about local architecture here in Winston, not just the modernist homes, but some of the modernist stuff that's going to be presented at the garage next week. So there's some neat stuff happening.
Yep, and then Asia's sister actually is going to be doing some community writing stuff for us. She's very excited about some of the stuff that's going on in the community, and she'll be doing some stuff with that. We have another one of our longtime readers, Ellie Wood, and her mother-in-law, Deborah, is going to be doing some work with us with innovation and business coverage. She's had a lot of experience doing this in Michigan, getting ready to move here to Winston-Salem. And so she's going to be doing some freelance writing for us. Her family's been here for quite a while, and she's been living in Winston herself off and on over the last several years and been here for several months now and just loves our city and can't wait to write about that for us. And we have a bunch of other columnists and different people who have started to contribute. So we're getting really excited about the different people and different views we're going to be able to be bringing to
and expand. This expanded coverage. The idea, though, this is what the Indiegogo campaign was about, what the Over the Hump campaign, which there's only 8 days left and we've got about 2% of the money that we need. But we got enough money to go ahead and get Stephanie to come on for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But without readers contributing, we're going to have to let her go.
Yes, but don't make that happen.
Don't make that happen because she's really a nice person.
Yes, don't make that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I like food on my table. Yeah.
But I mean, part of what that it's been stunning, and I'll go ahead and say it so because you're a nicer person. It's been kind of stunning though how we have there are thousands, literally over 50,000 people. If everybody that read us just in the month of March were to give a single dollar, we could have ended the campaign the first day.
Yeah, and we would have had over 46,000.
And we could have and hired full-time people and known we were going to be able to pay them. So that's what we're trying to do with some of this money. And so far, we've had some really great people, but there's only been 17 come forward, and we got about $1,000, which will allow us to go ahead and move forward with Stephanie for a couple of months. But that's not going to be able to make it over the hump, not nearly, as far as what we need to be able to do. Because what we're trying to do is expand our coverage here. We've already started getting ad money in, and this isn't a shot at getting more profit. This is we want to be able to expand now without waiting and having to wait and build that up so that we can get more people in and put people here in Winston to work.
Well, and part of that was too, and I know we've talked about this before, but you and I have personally invested not just the thousands of hours. Yeah. I mean, people ask us how much we work, and it's like, it's more easier to measure what we don't work is probably mm-hmm. the 6 hours a night that we get yeah. sleep. But we've personally financially invested in this over the course of the last 20 months. And we didn't ask for outside investors. This has been just completely shoe leather and us working on it and people in the community who've supported mm-hmm. what we've done. But we do, we don't have any other money to invest in this to be able to get it any further. So that's why we're asking the community. We've donated our time yeah. and our energy and our lives to this for 20 months. And we're asking that if you like it and you want to see more of it, that we need you to, it's yeah. time for
and
you to
not
participate.
Not to be a dick, but I mean, we're not ever going to, we haven't charged a subscription.
No.
And in fact, if you even if you read one of the other major media outlets in town, they went to subscription before we showed up.
Yeah, so we had to stop after we started.
Yeah, then they had to stop. So we're, if we were to go away or something would have happened, it's going to be back to paying $10 or more a mm-hmm. month anyway for your news.
Right.
So we're not going to be hitting people. We're trying not to do this where we have to do this every 6 months either. No. Which NPR is great, but they right. have to do that. That's their right. model. We don't want to have to keep doing that. We're trying to get a one-time investment here so that we can push forward. And we are running into the thing where people, they like things that are free, really. They don't even things yeah. that they want or say they want or
well,
need.
That's the thing. Nothing,
they're not willing to pay for.
Well, nothing even, is actually free though.
Yeah. Even as much as we dog and hate Duke Energy here, they don't give you your power for free.
Right. No. Well, and that's the thing. We can't barter. Exactly. We can't barter for groceries. We can't barter for our power bill or our mortgage or any of that kind of stuff. We can't barter for gas in the car. So we are running into there's some things that we can only ask people to contribute their writing and stuff and their time for just for the good of the cause for so long because you can't buy groceries on exposure. You can't buy groceries on Goodwill. And so we do need to be able to do that, but it's like we're not going to
close the doors too if this thing doesn't make its full amount. But on the other hand, we'll have to take some time to do. We're going to have to focus on some other things as far as expanding it besides content.
Well, the money is not a sustaining thing, so we're not asking for this money to be able to stay in business or to be able to pay salaries to those of us who've been working so far. The goal for this was really to be able to have an infrastructure set up that would allow us to have some cash flow to be able to help employ people until we're able to start getting the ad revenue into a place to sustain that. And we have a goal in place. We've been working with some people to be able to make sure that we have a very sustainable model before we bring people on, because we don't want to be laying people off. We don't want to be hiring people for a little bit of time and letting them go. So our goal is really to be able to have something set up here where, when we ask someone to come work for us, we're not having to say, oh, you need your own computer and your own printer and your own camera and you have to pay your own gas to go to do it, everything and stuff like that. We feel like if they're going to be contributing to this and involved in the community and doing that, there's a certain level of support that we need to be able to provide for those employees to be able to bring you really high quality coverage of
I mean, and that's one of the reasons, in all honesty, is that you haven't seen a bunch of investigative stuff lately, and that you haven't been seeing some of the coverage that people said. There were things like the Urban League stories and other that we were the only people that seemed that would want to touch it, is because we've had to focus on more business-minded things.
We've
had
Urban League's not in your pocket.
And we've had to start focusing on some other things. We want to bring that kind of stuff back, but part of that is getting this Indiegogo campaign done, selling ads, doing those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So we can get people like Miss Stephanie, talented people, to come in and use their talents on it. So we can go back. I mean, part of what Stephanie is going to do is free me up to start digging again and to start getting into that stuff again. So mm-hmm. we're, like I said, these are important things, and nothing is free. And we're not asking to pay for everything, but at least a small contribution. If you have been a reader, if you've been a listener, it'd be a nice way to go. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then that's enough preaching. I think we've hassled people. We don't want to become. We should start. Next week I'm going to come on. Man, we're going to have the ringing phones in the background, and we're going to do that. We'll do that on the show. If nobody's contributed by then, we'll do that on the show for the next 20 until people contribute. We're only going to play ringing phones in the background.
We're not going to shut down anything. That's not what this is about. What we're asking is if you like what we do, and if you've been appreciating what's been going on for the last 20 months, whether you just come and found us recently or you've been reading all along, if you appreciate it, support it so that we can bring you more of it.
See, that's annoying, isn't it? You don't want to hear that.
That is annoying.
Speaking of, what do you guys have on the show tonight?
We have Randy Wooden, who is a career coach, mm-hmm. Who is coming on to discuss. I think there's some job fairs or things coming, but he's coming on to actually talk about what he does with Goodwill. So
yeah,
that's the ring. No, that's the other one. I thought I had one ringing for hours.
Yeah, and Goodwill, but actually, you can see it on ChemistryDispatch.com. Goodwill has a job fair coming up.
Yeah, and he's going to probably talk about that.
And that's going to be pretty cool because they're going to have some things at the job fair teaching people everything from how you should dress at a job interview, how to do that. And some of the big companies are going to be there.
And it's also, he's good with career coaching as far as teaching you how to get the most out of LinkedIn and other social media for personal use, not just for playing around doing selfies.
Yeah, because if you're still thinking, if you're still going, trying to pick up a paper every day and think you're looking for a job, you're not. That's not looking for a job these days. The jobs aren't going to be there.
Right.
You're not going to find them there. So yet another reason not to pick up a newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. We're thinking about getting a puppy. We're going to have to start taking the paper at least for a month or two because we're thinking about getting a puppy. So,
and to fix some holes. Gotta in the
have
wall. Some.
Yeah, fix a few, a few holes.
If we can't, get a. Funding, we have to turn to using the paper instead of toilet paper.
Okay. Yeah, then we'll be doing that. Then we'll all have black bottoms.
Black bottom girl.
That's a different song, though. That's a completely different number. All right, man. Well, great. And we're gonna actually have an hour, within an hour long show today. So it's not gonna run over. And we're not gonna nobody.
Well, that means we still have time to talk about Barnhills.
We could do that. I like Stacy. Let's talk about
Barnhills. They're located at 811 Burke Street in the west end side of downtown Winston-Salem. You can find them on the web only at barnhills.com and on Twitter at only at Barnhills. Go in and see Stacy. Say, Stacy, I want the Tim's Tasting Special. And if you're the first person between Tuesday and Saturday to say so, you'll get a $5 tasting on me, which means you actually get a glass and not the plastic communion cup.
Yeah, and on me doesn't mean you drink it off of Tim.
No, nobody would want that.
Yeah, it's not a body shot. It's not a body shot.
And when you're done with the selections for the tasting, you get to have a full glass of your favorite. And when you go home, you get to take the glass with you. If you tell her you listen to the Camel City Dispatch News Hour, Tartan Tangy Triad, or the Less Desirables, you'll get 10% off anything in the store that's not handmade art. And that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to have a deal. Again, something you don't have to pay for.
That's right. Or at least not pay full price.
Yeah. Well, buy local, man. Stop by Barnhills.
They are
read
the
dispatch. Dude, and that's the other thing about dispatch. I will say this. Your money's going to stay here. If you give it to that Indiegogo campaign, it's not going to Iowa, Kansas, or any other place. New York City, it's staying here.
New York City?
Yeah, really. That's a real place. Yeah. It's not just on 30.
Get that crap out of here.
What, did you make that?
No, it's Nukem, man.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Nukem. Oh, Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, from the video game.
Yeah.
Get that crap out of here.
Yeah, I'd stop playing at Pac-Man. I know about Galaga.
Epic fail.
Oh man, we got all kinds of sound effects. All right, but anyway, we'll be back next week, man. We're gonna have an interesting show. We're gonna actually have some folks from the Arts Council on next week, and we're gonna talk about that 5K.
Okay,
and do a little fitness test with Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
we got some plans for you.
See how many jumping jacks you can do in a minute or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He can't fall out on the show. We got to save all that. You want to save the good stuff for the actual event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see what we can do. Anyway, and I guess that's it, folks. We'll see you next week here, back at the same place on the Camel City Dispatch News Hour. Views and opinion in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and are not necessarily those of our distributors or hosting company. This podcast is copyrighted and no material from this podcast can be used or reproduced without the express written permission of Camel City Dispatch, LLC.